Name policy ensures specific ships named in the contract. Wager policy covers property loss without legal proof of possession. Key features of marine insurance: insurable interest. The person must have a financial stake in the voyage or be impacted by losses. Named policy ensures specific ships named in the contract. That means you have a ship's identity, and that name of the ship with other registration numbers, etc., is all specified in the insurance policy, which is called a named policy. So that policy will be applicable only to those ships which are mentioned in that policy. Wager policy covers property loss without legal proof of possession. That means that I can cover a cargo, although I may not be able to prove possession of that cargo or that it is under my ownership. Key features of marine insurance: insurable interest. The person must have a financial stake in the voyage or be impacted by loss. Who can take a marine insurance policy? Any person or company who has a financial stake in the voyage or be impacted by loss, which means that either you are a holder, if you are looking at a ship policy, then you are a stakeholder or a shareholder in that company, or if you are looking at covering cargo, then you are either the owner of the cargo, receiver of the cargo, or the dispatcher of the cargo. Proposal and acceptance. The contract is formed when the insurer accepts the assured's proposal. The premium is determined based on the proposal and paid upon contract execution. Issuance of policy. The policy is legally valid once prepared, signed, stamped, and issued, and can be corrected by court order if needed. We all understood that a marine insurance policy is a contract. Now, for a contract, what is required is a proposal and acceptance. The contract is formed when the insurer, that means the company, insuring company, accepts the assured's proposal. Assured's proposal, assured is who? The policyholder. Before he becomes the policyholder. The premium is determined based on the proposal and paid upon contract execution. Let's understand this in a little simple language. The contract is formed when the insurer, that means the insuring company, accepts the terms, conditions as put up by the policyholder or the proposal, the assured's proposal, which means, let's say the insurance company has a marine policy and they say that we will cover you for this voyage from point A to point B. This is the cargo and we will cover you for X, Y, Z or a number of risks. Now the person who wants the policy says that whatever are your conditions that you have put in the policy, I want one more condition to be covered, and that is if there is a fire or there is a damage due to fire, my cargo is protected. The insurance company accepts the assured's proposal and says now the premium would be not X but X plus something, because you want a new condition to be covered. The policyholder or the person who wants the policy accepts these terms, conditions, and accepts the new premium on the proposal, which he pays up upon contract. The proposal and acceptance is completed and the contract is executed. Issuance of policy. The policy is legally valid once prepared, signed, stamped, and issued, and can be corrected by court order if needed. So once this agreement has taken place, an acceptance is there from both the sides, and the policy is now drafted, is legally valid once it is prepared, signed by both the parties, stamped and issued. Then once it is issued, it can only be corrected by a court order if needed. Floating policy. General term set, specific details added later. Assignment. Transferable unless prohibited, before or after loss. Doctrine of subrogation. Insured can't claim more than actual loss. Utmost good faith. Insurance contracts require full honesty. Let's look at some other terms, floating policy. What is a floating policy? Where only the general terms are set. Specific details are added to be added later. Assignment, transferable unless prohibited. Before or after loss, which means that the risks are transferable from one cargo to another, from one ship to the other, from one area to one location to the other, unless it is prohibited and specified in the policy. If it is, the policy says that this, the risks and the coverage is non-transferable, it is a non-assignment policy. Otherwise, it is an assignment policy. Doctrine of subrogation, we understood this. You may have 10 policies, but you cannot claim more than your actual loss. Utmost good faith, all insurance contracts require full honesty for them to be in force. Doctrine of indemnity, marine insurance compensates for losses based on the insured or insurable value with no profit allowed. Exceptions to indemnity may apply. Profits allowed when? Marine insurance allows a certain profit margin as per the Act. Insured value. Marine insurance covers the insured value, determining the value of the property in advance for indemnity purposes. Let's go through again. What is doctrine of indemnity in a marine insurance policy? Marine insurance policy compensates for losses based on the insured or insurable value. But there is no profit that is allowed. However, there are exceptions to indemnity which may apply. Where profits are allowed, marine insurance allows a certain profit margin as per the Act, as per the Marine Insurance Act, but in some very specific cases. Insured value, marine insurance covers the insured value, determining the value of the property in advance for indemnity purposes, which means that if the cargo is insured for a certain amount of coverage, then that amount is specified for the indemnity clause. Warranties. A warranty requires the assured to fulfill specific conditions in the contract, and any breach terminates the contract. Warranties are express warranties, explicitly stated in the marine insurance contract, implied warranties, not stated but assumed to bind the parties. Seaworthiness of ship. A ship must be seaworthy at the start of its journey, ensuring the ship's condition and the crew's competence can handle sea stresses. There are certain warranties under marine insurance. A warranty requires the assured to fulfill specific conditions in the contract, and any breach terminates the contract. A warranty is considered to be terminated or a breach if any of the warranty conditions are not met. What are the warranties that are possible? Express warranty, explicitly stated in the marine insurance contract, which means that you have specified the terms, conditions under which you will claim damages, or rather you should be compensated for damages. Implied warranties, not stated but assumed to bind the parties. That means that there are conditions which are assumed more than they being written. We looked at an implied policy or an implied condition as you walk into a restaurant. Let me recall that example for you. You walk into a restaurant. Now there is a contract that is happening here that you have agreed to feed yourself and pay the price in compensation for the food that is consumed by you at that restaurant. Now this is an implied condition. The same implied condition works here or is implied here. It is not stated but assumed to bind the parties. Seaworthiness of ship. A ship must be seaworthy at the start of its journey, ensuring the ship's condition and the crew's competence to handle sea stresses. What does this mean? This means that the ship is good, is fit for its voyage. That means if it has to go across the Atlantic, the ship is strong enough, has all the equipment, is completely stored, has got all the supplies, and has a competent crew that can steer the ship through the Atlantic Sea to reach its destination without any hassles. Of course, if there are any other issues that come up in between, that would be handled by the crew because they are competent to look after. Legality of venture. The insured journey must be lawful. Foreign law violations may not breach the warranty. All about loss and abandonment. Marine Insurance Act of 1963. What does the Insurance Act say? Marine insurance is an agreement between the insurer and the assured to indemnify against sea-related losses, a key area of insurance law. Warranties in insurance. A warranty affirms the truth of insured statements with specific language. Marine insurance. Let's look at the legality of venture. The insured journey must be lawful. However, foreign law violations may not breach the warranty. So we are looking at warranties and how they can be breached or they cannot be breached in terms of legality of the venture. All about loss and abandonment. Marine insurance is an agreement between the insurer and the assured to indemnify against the sea-related losses, which is a key area of insurance law. Warranties in insurance. A warranty affirms the truth of insured statements with specific language. So once you have an insurance warranty in the insurance policy, then it can be assumed that the insured person or there is complete truth from both sides about what is specified in the contract with respect to preconditions or whatever are the other inclusions from the insured party, that means the policy holder, and the insurance company in terms of the clarity to pay the compensation or the losses, cover the losses in case of claims. Let's look at the warranty principle, the definition and an overview. The warranty principle in insurance means the insured must fulfill certain conditions. Breaching them releases the insurer from obligations. Bottom of form requires insured to take precautions to prevent loss. Legal aspects ensures the insurer understands the risk. Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority. The insurance regulatory oversees the insurance sector. So even IRDA oversees the marine insurance. Let's look at the warranty principle in insurance. The warranty principle in insurance means the insured must fulfill certain conditions, which means the policy holder must fulfill certain conditions, and breaching them releases the insurer, that means the insuring company, from its obligations. In simple terms, it means that if you as a policy holder do not fulfill the conditions that have been laid down, the warranty principle says that the insurer is free from its obligations. Bottom of form requires the insured, that is the policy holder, to take precautions to prevent loss. So that means that you must, a simple example here is when you are transporting material through marine cargo, you should take care of the packaging. If you neglect the packaging, that it is so bad and you are confident that it doesn't matter, packaging doesn't matter because it is covered by insurance. In this case, insurance will not cover the damages caused due to improper packaging, or it looks at it as a condition that you have not fulfilled in terms of taking precautions to prevent loss. Legal aspects ensures the insurer understands the risk, which means that even the insuring company should realize and is very clear about the risks that the insured party is looking for. The Insurance Regulatory Authority oversees marine insurance also. Let's look and understand what all does IRDA do. IRDA since 2000 regulates the insurance industry to ensure policyholder confidence in insurers' financial stability. IRDA has helped grow the insurance sector by protecting policyholders, regulating insurers, overseeing premiums, ensuring solvency, promoting rural coverage, and supporting industry organizations. IRDA, formed in 1999, started working in 2000. What does it do? It regulates the insurance industry to ensure policyholder confidence and in insurers' financial stability, which means that it gives only those companies a license to go ahead and sell policies only when they are confident that they can take care of the policyholder's requirement. So in short, if you have a company, insurance company, which is selling you insurance, you can be assured that they have IRDA backing or IRDA approval to sell you that policy. IRDA has helped grow the insurance sector by protecting policyholders. That means protecting you and me as policyholders, regulating insurers. That means you cannot have every company thinks of insurance because he feels that he can earn a lot of money. It is not so. It has to be regulated. You have to go through the IRDA procedure and get a license to sell policies. It also oversees premiums. That means it ensures that the premiums charged are in proportion to the risks that are being covered. Ensuring solvency. Promoting rural coverage. It also looks at not only urban coverage, it also looks at rural coverage. Wherever policies are in force, they have to cover even rural areas. And supporting industry organizations. If there are certain industry organizations that need to be covered, they are also being regulated and covered by IRDA. Structure and composition of IRDA. The IRDA is a 10-member body with one chairman, 5 full-time members, and 4 part-time members. Insurance Advisory Committee. The IAC consists of up to 25 members, excluding ex-officio members, representing various sectors like commerce, industry, transport, agriculture, and insurance-related bodies. Under Section 25 of the IRDA Act 1999, the IAC advises the IRDA on framing regulations and other matters. So let's understand what is the structure and the composition of IRDA and what all does it do. The IRDA is a 10-member body with one chairman, 5 full-time members and 4 part-time members. Then there is an Insurance Advisory Committee, IAC. The IAC consists of up to 25 members, excluding ex-officio members, but these 25 members represent various sectors like commerce, industry, transport, agriculture, and insurance-related bodies. Under Section 25 of the IRDA Act, the IAC advises the IRDA on framing regulations and other matters concerning the insurance policies. The IRDA bill was passed in December 1999 and became an act in April 2000. In July 2000, 11 key regulations for market entrants were notified after the first Insurance Advisory Committee meeting. Types of insurers, life insurers and non-life insurers. Include specialized insurers such as standalone health insurance companies, agricultural insurance companies, Export Credit and Guarantee Corporation, and reinsurers. The IRDA bill, as we all know, was passed in December 1999 and became an act in April 2000. In July 2000, after the first Insurance Advisory Committee meeting, 11 key regulations for market entrants were notified, which means that 11 key regulations for any new insurance company to come into India and start business, they had to meet 11 key regulations. Types of insurers, life insurers and non-life insurers. So IRDA covers both life insurers and non-life insurers. Also includes specialized insurers such as standalone health insurance companies, agricultural insurance companies, Export Credit and Guarantee Corporation, and reinsurers. What is the regulatory framework of IRDA? Covers registration, solvency, product approval, and compliance. enforces AML, CFT and corporate governance, penalties for violations, supervisory framework, on-site inspections and off-site monitoring based on complaints and market intelligence. So, understanding the regulatory framework of IRDA, it covers solvency, product approval and compliance, which means that a new insurance company wants to register, it covers the registration. If there is an old insurance company which has become solvent, it will take care of closing that business and ensuring that all that business is properly regulated. It also looks at product approval. That means every insurance company coming up with a unique or a new product has to get IRDA approval before it can be launched. And of course, there is compliance in terms of certain requirements to be adhered to by the policyholder as well as the insuring company. Enforces AML, CFT and corporate governance. Penalties for violations. It also has laid down rules and regulations and penalties for violations of those. Has a supervisory framework. On-site inspections and off-site monitoring, which means that they would visit offices of insurance companies, even go in and look at surveys, accompany a surveyor, arrive at, try and understand the process that is being followed, and then monitor that process to be right or wrong. They also do offsite monitoring where they would look at a claim, see how well it was settled or how, why was it not settled, and then understand and keep bringing in new policies, new regulations to protect the policyholders based on complaints and market intelligence. So all these initiatives are taken based on the complaints and market intelligence, which means that whatever you see, if one company is following a certain policy or a certain offer certain coverage, then that would also be approved by IRDA, and would IRDA would get a better view of things and different offerings from different insurance companies. At the time of opening of the sector, there was only LIC of India offering life insurance products. Four general insurance subsidiary companies under GIC of India and ECGC as a specialist player. The industry has so far seen the entry of 23 new private companies in the life segment and 22 in the non-life segment. Let's understand how the insurance sector has progressed in India. At the time of opening of the sector, there was only LIC of India offering life insurance products. Four general insurance subsidiary companies under GIC of India and ECGC as a specialist player. The industry has so far seen the entry of 23 new private companies in the life segment and 22 in the non-life segment. Let's clearly understand the kind of work that IRDA has been able to offer from its inception in 2000 or from the time that it started working in the year 2000. At the time of opening of the sector, there was only LIC of India offering life insurance and four general insurance subsidiary companies under GIC of India, that is General Insurance of Company of General Insurance Corporation of India, and the ECGC as a specialist player. The industry has so far seen the entry of 23 new private companies in the life segment itself. That means besides life insurance, which covered life, or rather covered your life, which means that if there was death that you met with, the family would be compensated for. There was only LIC who was doing that. There are now 23 other companies who are offering you similar life insurance coverage in the life segment, and there are 22 new entrants in the non-life segment. That means health insurance, property insurance, fire insurance, etc., etc. Five of the private non-life insurance insurers have been granted registration to operate exclusively in the health sector. Of the private insurers who commenced operations in the country, except a few insurers, most of the insurers have set up businesses in collaboration with foreign partners. The agricultural insurance company, as a specialized insurer of for crops, is operating in the public sector. As on date, there are 52 insurance companies in operation, in addition to GIC of India, the only reinsurer. Let's further understand the industry sector. Insurance industry sector, 5 of the private non-life insurers have been granted registration to operate exclusively in the health sector. That means the non-life, we are talking of the 22 non-life insurers, 5 of them are granted registration to operate exclusively in the health sector. Of the private insurers who commenced operations in the country, except a few insurers, most of them have tied up businesses in collaboration with foreign partners. The agriculture insurance company, as a specialized insurer for crops, is operating in the public sector. As on date, there are 52 different insurance companies in operation in addition to GIC of India, and GIC of India is the only reinsurer. Regulation of insurance intermediaries. Types: agents, brokers, corporate agents, web aggregators, micro insurance agents. Other intermediaries: TPAs, surveyors, insurance repositories. Regulatory framework. The regulatory framework for intermediaries includes licensing, capital and training, code of conduct and monitoring, policyholder protection and penalties. Let's look at the regulation. How is IRDA regulating the insurance intermediaries? First, let's understand what are we talking about. We are talking about agents, brokers, corporate agents, web aggregators, and micro insurance agents. Who are the other intermediaries besides these? Are the TPAs, surveyors, insurance repositories. What is the regulatory framework? The regulatory framework for intermediaries includes licensing, capital, and training. So there are rules and regulations as to what should be, when will a license be given, how much is the capital that is required, and they are trained to handle customers. Code of conduct and monitoring. So there is a certain code of conduct that each of these agencies or these intermediaries is supposed to follow, and they are monitored by IRDA. Policyholder protection and penalties. So it is very clearly and it is understood that these agents, brokers, cannot take you as a policyholder for a ride. Your rights are protected, and there are penalties that the insurance company would have to pay in spite of the fact that the policy was through an agent or a broker. Because finally, it is the insurance company which is recognized as the first party of the contract and you, the policyholder, as the second party. Insurance sector in India, 57 insurers, 24 life, 33 non-life, including 7 public sector companies. Micro insurance agents aid in reaching rural areas. Increasing tele-density and internet penetration will boost the role of web aggregators as insurance intermediaries. How is the insurance sector expanding in India? Today, we have 57 insurers. 24 cover life and 33 cover non-life, including 7 public sector companies. Micro insurance agents, that means people or agents who work as single people, are normally known as micro insurance agents. Now, these single individuals are reaching insurance to rural areas. Today, farmers are being insured, the education of their children is insured, and also financed by insurance companies. Increasing tele-density and internet penetration will boost the role of web aggregators, because once internet penetration is available and mobile connectivity is available or telecom connectivity is available, the people from rural areas will also be able to take online help from insurance companies or get into buying policies online. Messrs. CSC E-Governance Securities India Limited, licensed to market retail insurance policies via 1 plus lakh common service centers. Insurance Repository Scheme IRS and IRDA initiative enabling policyholders to store e-policies, eliminating paper risks and enhancing convenience and safety. Computer Service Centers under E-Governance Securities India Limited is licensed to market retail insurance policies via 1 lakh common service centers, which means that they can start marketing, they are licensed to market individual retail insurance policies over through more than 1 lakh common service centers across the country. That is the kind of penetration that we are looking at. Of course, considering our population and the spread of our country, even 1 plus lakh common service centers is very small a figure. Insurance Repository Scheme, an IRDA initiative enabling policyholders to store e-policies, eliminating paper risks and enhancing convenience and safety. We have seen that there are policies which cover risks for 10 years, for 15 years, for 20 years. Now, when a policy is printed on paper, there is all the probability of the paper being contaminated, being damaged due to negligence, due to weather, due to evaporation of ink and certain other elements. As a result, what IRDA has done is it has initiated enabling policyholders to store e-policies, which means that the policy is held on a cloud through only the electronic media. As a result, you don't need paperwork, you don't need to look after the policy in its paper form and try and preserve it. The funniest part or a very odd situation would be a fire insurance policy is lost in fire. In that situation, how do you put up a claim? As a result, understanding these issues, IRDA has come up with an initiative to enable policyholders to store e-policies. Policyholder protection from IRDA. IRDA Protection of Policyholders' Interests, Regulations 2002. Redressal of Public Grievance Rules, 1998. Guidelines for Grievance Redressal. Channels of Complaints and Insurer Channels, Portal, Emails, Letters, Call Centers. So, what has IRDA done to protect policyholders? Let's understand. There are certain regulations which were laid down in 2002. There is a Redressal of Public Grievance Rules which was laid down in 1998. There are guidelines already available for grievance redress and how complaints are to be channelized. So, the channels for complaints is also specified. Insurer channels, portals, emails, letters, call centers, which means that now every insurance company has to have a portal, has to have email facilities for the policyholder, have to have letters in letter form because certain rural areas are still not covered by the internet or by telecommunication. And then you have a call center where anybody is allowed to call and the company is expected to answer those queries. What are the IRDA channels? How do you put up a claim or how do you understand what is happening under IRDA? There is a website of igms.irda.government.in. You have a toll-free number. You have complaints at irda.government.in. And you have areas where you can send a letter to Consumer Affairs Department's IRDA Hyderabad. There is an insurance ombudsman. What does this mean? This means that you have an overseeing body under IRDA who looks at complaints of the policyholder against an insurance company. What does an insurance ombudsman do? File complaints under RPG rules of 1998 for claim repudiation, premium disputes, policy construction disputes, claim settlement delays, non-issuance of documents after premium payment. interesting topics, all affecting the policyholder. So the insurance ombudsman actually supports a policyholder under the RPG rules of 1998. What all does it cover? If you have put up a claim to an insurance company and the insurance company just rejects the claim, you can approach the insurance ombudsman with all the details, and then they would hear out your claim. If it is found to be genuine, they will tell you the necessary process after that. Premium disputes. If you have a dispute with the premium that is being charged to you by the insurance company and the insurance company is not able to settle it for you, you can again approach the ombudsman. Policy construction disputes. That means the policy is so constructed that it sort of contradicts one or two conditions. You can always refer that to the insurance ombudsman, who would get it settled with the insurance company. Claim settlement delays. If your claim is inordinately delayed beyond the policy timings that are, or the policy duration that has been specified, you can put up a request to the insurance ombudsman to intervene. Non-issuance of documents. Many insurance companies abstain from printing the policy documents even after receipt of payment. In such situations, you can always approach the insurance ombudsman with all the details and get them to give you the policy document. IRDA helps resolve policyholders' complaints through insurers but does not adjudicate. Complaints must first be registered with the insurer, and if unresolved, the policyholder can approach other forums like the ombudsman. So IRDA has put up a regulatory process under which a policyholder is supposed to go through, or rather follow the protocol. IRDA helps resolve policyholders' complaints through insurers but does not adjudicate, which means that they will not fight a case on behalf of the policyholder. They will only bring it to the notice of the insurance company, what is the complaint, and what is, they would also justify and tell them what are the guidelines that they need to follow. At the same time, the final decision would remain with the insurer. Complaints must first be registered with the insurer, and if unresolved, the policyholder can approach other forums like the ombudsman, which means that the protocol that is to be followed is, you as a policyholder first must first complain on the registered website or any other means with the insurer. If you do not get a satisfactory reply, or if your dispute remains unresolved, the policyholder can then approach other forums like the ombudsman.